How's everybody doing? Wave at me if you're doing good. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So Will asked me to do the welcome, and I had a dream I was opening up at a comedy show. You're laughing. It didn't go so well. Imagine that. I've had quite the week. I don't know if you follow me on the medias that are social. Started off a new job in a new industry and excited to get to work early. In my industry, early is on time is late. So get to work and shut my wife's car off and go to move it, and it doesn't turn back on. And I said, this is going to be a week. So go to work, you know, feeling a little sick to my stomach because I'm worried about this. Put in a good 12-hour day, get there thinking, maybe it'll start. It doesn't start. So get the car towed back home for a couple $100 because AAA wanted me to wait 2.5 hours. And it was already 8 o'clock at night, thinking, we'll be all right. This is going to be all right. It's going to be fine. Take my truck in the morning. Everything's good. Get the truck going. Get going early. Blow the top radiator hose on my truck, side of I-75. Oh, yeah. So, sitting there, I'm wondering, have I paid my tithes? Something right. Call my wife. We pay our tithes, right? Yes, we've paid our tithes. Okay, so this is not really me. I got to look elsewhere. I didn't do anything wrong here. Bad things just happen, right? So my good friend Will here comes to my rescue with a biscuit, no doubt. Yes, many of you may have saw that. I don't normally post pictures of biscuits. And then it starts to go, I'm thinking, we're going to be all right here. And so I start feeling bad. I'm like, this can't be good. I can't get sick. Get home. Looks like I got what appears to be 104 fever. And I'm like, there's no way in God's name I'm staying home from work tomorrow. I've already missed a day of work. Two cars have had to be worked on. I'm going to work. I'm finishing this week. So, you know, got everything right. Everything seems to be a little bit smoother the last couple of days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday went a little bit smoother, aside from working outside in the cold and the rain. And I had a smile on my face the whole time because there's no place I'd rather be. But I say that to say this. All the stuff that we go through is relative, and you may be going through something yourself. But there's no place that I'd rather be than right here this morning. And if I don't have my hands up in worship this morning, somebody come punch me in the arm. Because I need to give God some thanks and appreciation and some praise because I made it. I made it to Friday, y'all. So let's stand, let's worship, and I encourage you to find your place in worship to get filled up this morning. Night and death has lost a life, and now
As Jason just said, no matter what's going on this week, no matter where your thoughts are, if you've got problems, if life is good, right now we're in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
So let everything else go right now and focus on Him. Focus on how good He is to you, how awesome He is to you. Focus on His love. And just be thankful that we can experience heaven right here on earth. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing.
Counts.
all around, that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Yes, a miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Amen.
Hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the sky, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive pass. Let it be done.
much, Father. Thank you for filling this room, Father. Thank you.
It's crazy because I almost nudged you. This whole year, we've been doing a series called Recovering Our Godness, and every week we've talked about who God is, the name of God. And, you know, we come in here, we receive the word, and we have a new understanding of what we're hearing, and we go out with it, and sometimes we think on it, sometimes we don't. And without even knowing, a couple of weeks ago, I threw my back out, so I've had a lot of time for meditation. And the thing, sometimes when the word goes down deep within you, this recovering God, the thing that's recovered more than anything in me is that he is love. And the thread throughout every name has been a recovery of love. And this week, I found myself driving in one day, and one of you would come to my mind. I remember one day, it was Mary Fountain just came to my mind, and I don't see Mary every day. I don't see her like I want to see her. And I just started crying, thinking about who she is and her godness and who God is within her. One morning, I started thinking about my mom, which is easy to think about. And I think the beautiful message in all of this for me, what has been sowed into my life, I'm reaping in love. And sometimes we don't always know that a love needs to be recovered, and maybe that's not the best word for it, but fanned. And so that love for God, that love for people has just been fanned. And in a moment, I know Lauren's going to share something, but the song that we sing, you don't give your heart in pieces. Your love's not fractured. It's not a troubled mind. And that's not only his love for me, but because that kind of love's within me, I don't have to have a fractured love for you, for anyone, but it gets to be pure and good. And I'm just loving love. I'm loving that that's who we get to be, that that's what we get to experience. And those words, when I hear it, I know one time you sang that song, and you said, you made it in first person. My love's not fractured. It's not a troubled mind. It isn't, help me with the words. It's not the restless kind, but that's who we are. And so that's what's been recovering within me. And so we're going to take a moment. We're going to meditate on who he is, that love. And if you would, where you are, close your eyes. Take a minute. I'm closing my eyes with you. And I am thinking about the greatness of his love. Thinking about the unconditional pouring out of himself into me, into you. Maybe you can think about one person in your life right now. Go ahead and get that person in your mind and your thoughts. The first person who comes to you, whoever it is, hold them in your thoughts and your heart. And just think about them and the word love and what love is. And let that just kind of be the resounding sound. Thank you.
Word says that you have to speak it for it to be done. So if you feel broken, you have to see yourself as whole. And that this is just the journey to get there. But when you see it and you speak it and you say and you take these words and you see yourself as this whole being who is pure love and light, you have to speak it into your world. And His promise is so that it will be done. It already is. It already is. I'm so full of gratefulness and appreciation and praise this morning that it is already done. We just have to step into it and enjoy it. Dusty said to me before we came out here, she said, enjoy this. And that word enjoy, man, just when you choose to enjoy every little moment of your day, you are just transformed. Your circumstances look different because you're walking in a different light. You're walking whole. And you are this being that God is so unreserved and unrestrained with His love. And when you speak these promises into your life, like Dusty said, that fan, that flame, it just grows and it multiplies. I'm so thankful this morning, Father, just for Your love. And if you would, standing where you are, just speak a few things into your life right now. Feel God's presence inside of you in this building, in the air that we're breathing. He is closer than our breath. And we get to carry that throughout our day. I'm so thankful, Father. Thank You. Just speak 5 things right now that you're grateful for in your life. When you speak those 5 things that you're grateful for, maybe take 1 thing that you've been resisting. Take 1 thing that you've been resisting in your life.
Good.
Accept that, welcome it in, and speak praise over that. 1 good thing. There aren't many good, places we can go these days anymore where you walk in and people edify your spirit and encourage and lift you up. I thought that I was a pretty positive person, but I came in this morning and to 3 different people just said something remotely off. And it did not register in me that, ooh, that does not match my vibration. That was negative. I didn't even realize how it made me feel until they said, no, you are not what you just said you are. So see yourself that way. This being that God loves so much, that we get to come here and worship and praise and just overflow with gratitude. Father, thank You.
Unreserved, unrestrained, Your love is wild. Your love is wild for me. It isn't shy. It's unashamed. Your love is proud to be seen with me. To be seen with me. Don't give Your heart in pieces. You don't hide Yourself to tease us. Uncontained, Your love is a fire, burning bright for me. It's not a spark, it's not. not just a flame. Your love is light, and all the world will see. All the world will see. You don't give your heart in pieces. You don't hide yourself to Jesus.
That you are whole, know that you are healed, speak those words into your life and you walk in it and you let your light shine. You embody spirit. It's who we are. It's what we were created for. Love. Thank you, Father. Amen.
You may be seated. You got your bulletin when you came in. Inside your bulletin is your connection card. Those of you that are members of the church hear the broken record each and every week. We'd like for you to fill this out. Communicate with us. This is the way that you volunteer for different things. Important thing this Saturday from 8 till 12. Work day here at the church. I've got inside work and outside work. And if we had 50 people here working, it would be incredible the amount that we get done. We'd even go home early. So plan on that. Turn your connection card in and the offering bucket at the end. Thank you.
Okay. I've never used this.
First time.
This is my birthday month. And this is the first, I'm not going to tell you how old I will be. But I've never had a problem with pollen until this year. I took a Zyrtec for the first time this morning in my life. And so my voice, if it cracks and makes a funny sound, I'm not going through puberty. Something else happening. And I asked my eye doctor a couple of years ago, I said, these dots are coming across my eyeball. What is that? What can you do about that? He said, nothing. I said, I appreciate that. He said, it's called birthday candles. So I'm getting at the age where when you go to the doctor, that's what you get. Birthday candles, Buren, just birthday candles. But I am really glad to be here. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked, the Bible says. One day in thy courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else, the Bible says. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. And it goes from generation to generation. Aren't you glad of that? Jesus spent time in the synagogue. The Bible says, as his custom was, he was in the synagogue on the Lord's day. Not the temple, but the synagogue. He was there to hear the word, to be taught. Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be taught. Think about that for a moment. Jesus went to church. Jesus went to church. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I'm always, you know, every now and then I get up on Sunday mornings and don't want to come. I know that never happens to any of you. But seldom happens to me, but it happened several years ago, and I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to church this morning. She said, Buren, you got to, you're the pastor. So you all have those moments, but you know, I'm always glad once I get here, aren't you? It's worth the effort. Is it worth the effort? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the power of your spirit that resides within us. Thank you, God, for the changing of seasons. Thank you for this new time that we're in. Thank you for spring that's coming. Just thank you, God, for the fishing trips and all the good stuff that's ahead of us. I just thank you, thank you, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, let's get real, right? Now, let's just get real. God is good. All the time, God is good. And so we've been going through the names of God, describing who God is. And I'll be honest with you, I knew that we were going to come to this description of God. And it was going to be my least favorite one, because I didn't think there was a whole lot about it. As a matter of fact, I told myself, when you get to this name of God, you get to the another name of God and put two together for that Sunday, because you're going to need to have a little more ammunition, because you don't have much with this one. And this one I'm about to share with you this morning has been my favorite. It's my favorite. God always sneaks up on you. I love it when God sneaks. I love it when I tell God something and he sneaks up and tells me something else. I like it when I'm not expecting him and he steps around the corner and shows up. I love God. As a matter of fact, I want to go ahead and tell you something. I want to jump way ahead. I fell in love this week with the Trinity. I fell in love this week with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I fell in love all over with them again this week. And it was so powerful that I built my own altar and I rededicated my life to my God, my Savior, and my Holy Spirit. I just rededicated my life to the Trinity. I thank God for the power of the Trinity. I thank God for who he is. Matter of fact, I gave him all a special name. I call my God the great giver. The great giver. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. He's my great Savior. And he sent the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. I'm going to, as a matter of fact, it's expedient that I go to heaven. Because if I don't go, he won't come. But if I go, he will come. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So I just call him my great teacher. I got a great giver, I got a great Savior, and I got a great teacher. And I have fallen in love with the Trinity of heaven. Thank God, can you just say thank God for the Trinity? Thank God. And so as we go through these names to remind you on the back of your bulletin, won't you look at that? We went through the trouble to put it on there for you, so how about reading it? I really didn't go through the trouble to do it, Connie did. But honor Connie by looking at it. And so we go through these names and we find the first name of God is Elohim. Say Elohim. He's the ruler of the universe. He's the creator of all things. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit of God hovered over the land and over the waters. The Spirit of God, matter of fact, it means it incubated. See, the earth, and it was not quite mature. That wasn't where it was headed. It wasn't where it was going to be. Like a premature baby, they'll put a premature baby into an incubator. The Holy Spirit is our incubator in the beginning. He's bringing things to maturity. Aren't you glad about that? And then it said, and God said, let there be. And see, God said, Jesus. He's the Word of God, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm glad that he is Elohim. He is my great creator. Barbara, you didn't tell me Zyrtec would do your mouth this dry. My gracious me. I got to go back being Pentecostal and believe in healing. This ain't going to work, man. We'll talk about that a little later on, too. I'm telling you. I'm excited. Maybe that's why I'm so dry. I'm just excited about what God's doing. Okay, two of you, we'll all get excited. Bible says that he's called Jehovah. He's the self-existent one. In him we live, we move, we have our being. He always has been, he always will be. Anna is our question asker in the family, and she's the only grandchild that ever asked me, where did God come from? Where did God come from? And you know, when you try to tell your grandchild where God come from, I don't care who you are, that's not an easy task. And so I just say, Anna, you know time. God doesn't know time. He's outside of time. We only know time because we've been born into time. But there was a being there out there that knows nothing about time. Matter of fact, it says about him, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's outside time. He is Adonai. He's our master and our Lord, not to master over us, not to lord over us, so that we can master our own lives, so that we, through his word, through his power, we can master our lives. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad you can be an overcomer? Aren't you glad? I love restoration. I love all of that, but I love overcoming. Don't you like to overcome? Don't you like to win? I know you do. He'll act like you don't like to. I don't like to win. I'm too humble to win. I just want to. No, I've never been to a sports arena where I hope the other team wins. That hadn't happened yet. El Shaddai, he's my nourisher. The Bible says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Aren't you glad he provides? He is Jehovah Rapha. He is my healer. Thank God. I need that. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner. Our banner is our banner of victory. He takes us in every single day. His banner over us is love. And his banner over us is a winning banner. Wow. He is Jehovah Makadash. He is my sanctifier. He's the one who makes me holy. Matter of fact, he made me holy before I even came to this earth. Since before I was conceived in my mother's womb, he knew me. And so God knew everything about me. And in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, before the foundations of the world, he made you holy and he sanctified you before you even knew who you were. You see, when you come out of this posture, you can do it. If I try to be righteous, I can't. But if I see I am righteous, I can do righteous things. I got to believe it first. If I believe I'm holy, I can do holy stuff. If I don't believe I'm holy, see, I have a voice cracking. It's puberty. I'm going through that again. So it's all happening. So this is good stuff. Good stuff. So now we come to this name, Jehovah Shalom. Oh, it just has a ring to it, doesn't it? Jehovah Shalom. My peace. Oh, my God. You're going to be glad you came this morning. My media man, I said last week I didn't make you work. This week you're going to work, dude. You're going to have to work. And I gave him my very last scripture. And he said, Beer, that's my favorite scripture in the Bible. I said, whoa, wait till this morning's over. It's going to be your double favorite scripture of the Bible. Peace. What would we not give for peace? There are people who would give everything that they have if they could have peace. Peace. Before I really get into it, when I got to studying this, I've studied for years the scriptures. And every time I've read some theologians, what they said about peace, I used to agree with it. I can't agree anymore. And they said, peace is not the absence of trouble. That doesn't make sense. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is not the absence of a problem. That's the only way you can have peace. That's the only way you can have peace. It has to be trouble-free. Okay, we'll show you. In Judges 6:24, troubling time, Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. And the altar remains and open the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. The Lord of what? Peace. Peace. Let me tell you what peace is. Peace is the deepest desire and need of the human heart. It's the greatest measure of contentment and satisfaction in life. Peace represents every spiritual and temporal blessing in life. Peace. Jeremiah 29:11, a big scripture. People, I mean, this scripture's put on refrigerators. It's been heralded out there for the last 10 years everywhere you go. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good. Other translation says they're plans for peace and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Aren't you glad of that? His plan is for peace, not disaster, and it's to give you a future and a hope to go with that future. The hope for the future is expectation of something good coming my way. That's what hope is. I'm expecting good. Let me read you a passage of scripture in the Bible that I think defines peace. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 4. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand of the seashore. They were very contented with plenty to eat and drink. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River in the north to the land of the Philistines to the border of Egypt in the south. The conquered peoples of those lands sent tribute money to Solomon and continued to serve him throughout his lifetime. The daily food requirements for Solomon's palace were 150 bushels of choice flour and 300 bushels of meal. How would you like to cook up that one every day? 10 oxen from the fattening pens, pasture-fed cattle, thank God, 100 sheep or goats, as well as deer, gazelles, roe deer, and choice poultry. What a menu. Solomon's dominion extended over all the kingdoms west of the Euphrates River, from somewhere to Gezer, and there was peace on all his borders. Peace on all his borders. During the lifetime of Solomon, all of Judah and Israel lived in peace and safety. And from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, each family had its own home and garden. Is that amazing? This is not a New Testament people. This is not even a New Covenant. Oh, come on. This is not even a New Covenant people. This is people living under the Old Covenant. And they were at total peace. And everybody had food. Everybody had a house. Everybody had a home. That's peace. That would it'd be like saying, and we had a president of the United States. And as the president of the United States, he brought peace to all of our borders. And everybody had insurance. Hospitalization insurance. Everybody had it. Everybody had a home. Everybody had income. Everybody had it. Wow. You know, you may say, oh, we can't have that. That's why we don't. You're right. You're so right. You can be so right, you know, that you're always right. You'll get that when you get home. Ezekiel chapter 37. This is where I really want to get to. You know, I said I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, I need him. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit, right? There is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, I thought about John some more this week, Diane, and I gave the testimony of how a miracle working in John's life now, and how about 5 years ago, I've lost track of time, he walked in my office hooked on meth, totally gone. He walked in my office. We had prayer. He looked at me and he says, I'm never going to touch it again. And walked out of my office and never has touched meth again in all these years. And you know why I believe that John got the victory like that? Because John came up in our church, in our youth ministry. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he had the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life that he was aware of, conscious of. He was aware of the Spirit of God. Sometimes, you know, taking people through counseling and through some difficult times of their life, and so often we have to apply the blood of Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for forgiveness. We have to apply the blood. We have to forgive. We have to receive forgiveness. We have to give forgiveness. And sometimes we stop there. And sometimes we don't take them any further until, you know, there's something else you're going to need. You need the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. You need that. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of my life. Jesus was so convinced about it, he tells his disciples, don't go try to do this thing without him. Before you go and be witnesses to the whole world, go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you shall be witness for me in Judea and Jerusalem and to the Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Wow. Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived. Miraculous birth. But because the Holy Spirit came over her, overshadowed her. We have to have the Holy Spirit, church. You got to be awakened and be aware of who he is. He's not an it. He's a person. He's real. He's real. And you need him. You don't have to be Pentecostal to have him. I know it scares some people. When we talk about, we had to go from saying Holy Ghost to Holy Spirit, because Holy Ghost really scared people when I was a kid. Y'all know my grandkid goes to St. George's Episcopal School. Okay, so a couple of years ago, you know, when I was in school, you always filled out what denomination you was in. I know that's so far-fetched. You don't do anything like that today. But every school year, David, I filled out I'm Baptist. I was Pentecostal. I was raised Pentecostal, but I put Baptist. Because I didn't want anybody to know I was Pentecostal. Because we had a reputation. Yeah. They said we swang from the chandeliers. We didn't have chandeliers. We barely had lights, much less chandelier. Baptists had chandeliers. We didn't have chandeliers. Methodists got chandeliers. We don't have chandeliers. We couldn't spell chandelier. If we wanted to get it, we couldn't spell it. So Anna, they asked them at St. George's what denomination you are. And so they asked John Henry, and John Henry said, we're interfaith. That's what we are. I know half of you don't even know what we are now. We're in, say, interfaith. That means we embrace all denominations. That's what we try to do. They asked Anna, said, what are you? She said, Pentecostal. I said, you don't say that in an Episcopal school. She said, I'm Pentecostal. She came home and John Henry said, Mama, Anna told the teachers today she's Pentecostal. And Des said, Anna, why'd you say you're Pentecostal? She said, Big Mama was Pentecostal. If Big Mama's Pentecostal, I'm Pentecostal. I said, that's right. Hallelujah. All of you could stand. They had a little Pentecostal in you. Oh, all of us could stand a little Pentecostal to rise up in us every now and then. I love preaching to y'all, because I like when I get on stuff like this, I see some of your faces and you're going, he's not going there, is he? He's not going to take us there, is he? He's not going to go Pentecostal on us this morning, is he? And you just, it's on your face. Like, we like this bureau and don't go back. I love it. I see it on your face. You're going to be fine. You're going to be all right. You're okay. Nobody's going to run around the church. Maybe not. I was preaching one time on High Falls Road. That's where I went to college. That was my seminary, is High Falls Road. And I'm up on the platform and I'm worshiping the Lord. And I happened to look up and we had windows like this around our church. And this guy in our church, here he goes. I was on the outside of the church with his hand lifted up. And he was going, he went all, and I looked around, here it comes again. Then I looked over here, there it goes again. And anyway. It was okay. Nobody died. Nobody died. Nobody was scared to death. Scared, but not to death. So, y'all having fun? Okay, I'm having fun. Let's go. You ready? Ezekiel chapter 37, the Lord took hold of me. I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, folks, this is serious business here. This, you think the Walking Dead something. Look at this. Suddenly there was a rattling noise across the valley. Bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. I'm sure he was saying the hip bones connect to the dog bones. And then I watched muscles and flesh formed and covered over the bones. Then skin formed to cover the bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Man, the Walking Dead is nothing. There's a bunch of zombies walking around. There's more zombies walking around than you. Listen, you see them every day. I saw some this week. I saw a lot of them. There are people with no spirit of God in them walking around. They're zombies, no life. Okie dokie. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, and the Son of Man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into the bodies, and they all came to life and stood on their feet, a great army. They had the flesh, they had the muscles, they had the heart. They had the organs of the body that was causing that body to live. Yet he said they were dead. And he still said they can come alive. And he breathed, and this is not oxygen. It's the breath of the living God. It's Abram. Your name shall be called Abraham. Sarah, your name shall be called Sarah. It's the breath of God. When the Bible says in Psalms 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, he's not talking about everybody who's got oxygen praise the Lord. Everybody who has the breath of God in them, praise the Lord. You can't praise him outside the Holy Spirit. He makes it alive. They stood up. You know, we got a lot of babies being born. We got some coming. And got two spoiled grandparents over here right now, already spoiled, man, rotten. And got these babies coming. They're gonna crawl. Well, first of all, you're gonna look at them, and they're just gonna roll over, and you're gonna go, look, they rolled over. Look, they rolled over, and then they're gonna crawl and go, look, they're crawling. But one day they're gonna stand. And oh, when they stand on their own and start to walk, all hell breaks loose. No. No, I'm kidding. No, it does. I'll be honest. I don't prepare you for it because, you know, it's easy to keep up with them in the crib, but it's hard to keep up with them when they're running all over the house. You know, it's a different story. Holy Spirit, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to the temple one day, and I love this passage of scripture, because the temple was dead, the synagogue, rather. It was dead. It was not filled with any life. The law, the old covenant was read every day, every synagogue, every Lord's Day was read, and the Sabbath day then came the Lord's Day. And Jesus walked up and turned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Say, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He needed the Holy Spirit. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up and read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Sent me to proclaim captives to be released, the blind to see, and the oppressed to be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor had come. You can take all of that and put it in one word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because I have come to bring you peace. I've come to bring you peace. Because if I'm poor and I can't pay my bills, I don't have peace. If I'm a captive, I don't have peace. If I'm oppressed, I don't have peace. But Jesus said, the time of the favor of the Lord has come. And they missed it. I just wonder, I'm going to jump ahead for a moment. I just wonder why the Middle East is so filled with no peace. Why do people who serve the same God we serve have such turmoil? I believe it's the absence of Jesus. Jesus came to show us the Father. Not a God coming down on us, but a Father reaching out to us. What's special about your faith? What's special about Christianity? You know, I think we live in a day and age when we need to stand on our soapboxes one more time. And we need to be proud, not that we're American. We need to be proud that we're Christian. We need to be proud that we're followers of Jesus. We need to be proud that we follow a prophet. We follow a man who came to this earth and broke down the middle wall of partition, and he gave peace to all mankind. We need to be proud. Then we need to say the name of Jesus with sincerity and with a proudness in our hearts and in our lips and in our bodies. And then I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower. He's a prophet that came to this earth to show me God. And then he said in John chapter 14, verse 27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I'm giving you a peace. In John chapter 16, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on the earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. What's he saying? Well, if you're religious, you say, man, this world's a sinking boat. It's going down. Man, this world's just filled with sorrow and toil and all these things. It's just filled with tribulation, but you ain't got to tribulate. He came to overcome it. So that means my trials and my sorrows that come, I overcome. I overcome them. Wow. Hallelujah. Kitty. All right. Put your seatbelt on. Act like you're putting it on. Good. Some of you are going to need this one. You're going to need a seatbelt. Fasten your seatbelt. You're going to need it. But you may not need it. Take it off. Unbuckle it. I love it when people do that. They do it in a Just unbuckle your seat. You don't need it. Jesus brought peace to the earth, to the universe, to the grave, and to hell. He brought peace to everything. Job asked God something one day. Wow, please listen. Do you have eyes of flesh? Do you see as mortals see? Wow. Tell you why Job's going through. I mean, nobody names their kid Job, right? Never dedicated to Job. Never. Told you about Mike Thompson, my good friend, going through the worst time of his life. He was reading the book of Job. I said, Mike, put that down. But he got blessed out of it. Because, anyway. Do you hear? Do you have eyes of flesh, God? Do you see as mortals see? I had to just meditate and think about that this week. And so I had this dialogue with God. And I said to the God of the universe, you don't have eyes of flesh. And you don't see as mortals see. You don't. You can't. He's not mortal. The Bible says that his thoughts are so higher than our thoughts, they're as high as the heavens are from the earth. It's his thoughts from our thoughts. Jesus not only came to show us who God is, he came so God could see who we are. That the God of the universe now, because of Jesus, sees like flesh. And that's why Paul said, now we have a high priest who has passed into the heavens. And he feels our infirmities. Because he was tempted and tested in all points, like as we, yet without sin. Therefore, we can come boldly now through the throne of God and find help and mercy in a time of need. I understand God better through Jesus. And God understands me better through Jesus. What a thought. What a thought. When I read that scripture, I spent days riding around this town whispering to God, Do you see as mortals see? Do you, God? And I felt in my spirit, yes, now I do. Because I've sent my son and he has lived the mortal life. The fleshly life. He has walked in skin and sinews and muscle and heart. His heart has pumped blood through his body. His organs have done their job to give him life so he could walk 33 and a half years on this planet. But not only did he give his son this flesh, he gave him the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. He breathed his breath in him. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like having this intimate relationship with God. I want you to stand with me. And I want you for a moment to concentrate on the Spirit of God. You know, we sang four songs this morning. I think three of them was about the Holy Spirit. One thing said, fall fresh on us. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit's not a one-time There's a whole denomination built on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is that my life is given over to the Spirit of the living God. And He's with me every single day. And He walks with me. He talks with me. He strengthens me. He consoles me. And every now and then, He kicks my ribs out. That's how I know when I'm not right, that I'm sensitive to the Spirit of the living God. And He says, No, that's not right. This morning, maybe you haven't asked the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit in a long time. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. It's easy for me. I was raised Pentecostal. The easiest thing in the world for me to do is pray in tongues. I pray in tongues every day. I've prayed in tongues half the morning. That's what I do. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not going to put that on you. I like it. It strengthens me. It edifies me. It builds me up. Builds up my most holy faith. The Bible says praying in the Holy Spirit. It's real. It's genuine. Came to ask the man one time, who healed you? They said, well, you can't be healed out of this or that. He said, I don't know whether or not it's right or wrong. All I know is once was blind and now I see. All I can tell you, I don't know. I can tell you once I was blind in a lot of areas and now I see. And the Holy Spirit shows me a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. He shows me a lot of stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to ask Him to fill you? I want you to step out in the aisle right where you are. Just step out in the aisle. I'm going to pray God to just... We're just going to pray together. Just, Lord, fill me again with the Holy Spirit. It's okay. Man, you need it. Every day of your life, you need it. It's nothing to be afraid of. Let me tell you something. There was a lot of abuse in Pentecostal. I know that. A lot of sensationalism that happened. I know that. A lot. But there was a whole lot of good that came out of it, too. A whole lot of good. People's lives were changed. People overcome meth without going to rehab because they knew what a intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit was all about. And so, Father, I ask You today, Lord, that as we come to this communion table in a moment, fill us afresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit. We recognize that He is inside us. He lives within us. We have had the breath of God to breathe on us, to make us alive in spirit, soul, and body. It's in our spirit that we acknowledge You. It's our spirit that we are aware of You. It's our spirit that You quicken and make alive. When we are dead and trespassing in sin, You woke us up. You woke us up by the Spirit of the living God. And You recreated us afresh and anew in You. And Lord, I just pray that as we receive Your power, that we can leave here today and overcome everything that comes our way. Everything. Because we believe that there's a Spirit of the living God that falls fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. The song, somebody mold me, make me. Aren't you glad He does that? Our elders will come and take your place to receive communion, to remember the peace He came to give us. moment as we receive this together. I want you to remember this scripture as we leave today, if at the will comes and receive the offering. But listen to this. He was betrayed. He did take the bread. He did take the cup. But he did go to the cross. And he did die. And he was in a tomb. And the Bible says on the third day, God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken, make alive your mortal body. Wow. Whoa. Oh. Wow. It don't mind for Presbyterian or what, Chris. It's a power of the Spirit of God. I always like to look at Chris when I talk about Pentecost and Holy Spirit. I see that Presbyterian thing rise up in him. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Wow. This is his body, which is broken for us. Take in remembrance of that. This is his blood, the everlasting covenant. I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. I have an eternal life. Nothing can take it from me. I'm his forever and ever. I'll always be his son. I'll always be his daughter. Nothing ever can take my name out of the book of life. You can't get it out. You can't blot it out. You can't erase it. It's written in the blood of Christ. I am sealed forever through his blood. Wow. God is good. Say, God is good. All the time. Heaven and earth is his. Heaven and earth. Thank you, buddy. One guy got it right here in the middle. Glad to have the youth in here. Got somebody getting it right out of the gate. Love you guys. Will.
You may be seated.
Ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings, alms and missions. Drop your connection card in there, those that are members. If you're visiting and you filled it out, we'd love to just follow up with you with an email or a text. I want to remind you that this Wednesday night is the first Wednesday of the month. First Wednesday of the month, we're meeting in here on Wednesday nights. Our youth are now meeting every Wednesday night, but for sure on the first, Shane and Lauren are going to lead us in an intimate time of worship, so you don't want to miss that. After that will be the drawing for the ladies' ministry raffle that has been going on, their fundraiser. And if you have not purchased your tickets yet, you can do that. They're out in the foyer. They would love to do that for you. You can actually even do that online if you do the... A lot of you pay your tithes and offerings online. You can do that in the memo. Just put the ladies' ministry. And that is available to you. They have added to their prizes. There already was a 3-night, 4-day vacation in the month of May. There was already an Afghan that was being, a homemade Afghan being given away. There's now a foursome to play golf at River Forest. And so, and if you don't like any of those, you can win it and give it away to somebody as a gift. So we're going to pray and we're going to bless this offering in this time, and then we're going to stand and we're going to worship. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house. Lord, that we can receive, but Lord, we can give of our time, our talent, our treasures, our thankfulness to you. Lord, we ask, Father, Lord, that you'll bless these offerings, Father, Lord, to the furtherment of your kingdom, to touch people's lives, to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and let's sing.
Hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry
season is over. There is a cloud beginning to spread. To the skies, heavy with blessings, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open your heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We receive. Will come to pass. Let it be done.